I have a suggestion, because it doesn't look like we're going to have time to develop this earlier tonight or even have another meeting in time. How about if we have a work group, whoever wants to be on the work group can join it, and if there's dissenting opinions on whatever comes out of it, then those be furnished along with whatever the work group comes up with to Les Radke. Would that be acceptable to everyone?
Okay, no.
It's not an election function.
The survey has nothing to do with Les Radke.
If it's going to be sent out with the ballots, though, right?
Yeah. He's going to mail it, but it'll just be a piece of paper. It'll be a one sheet of paper and two sides, and it'll also be coordinated with the letter. The letter will talk about it. In other words, the pieces in the package have to work together. But the only thing Les should concern himself about is the mechanism of voting and having the votes returned. I mean, not that we're excluding him. But if you heard him say that he's overburdened with work, and the point is to take the details off his hands, not give him more.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying maybe just put them on separate pieces of paper rather than on the back, so that all he has to do is separate them when the ballots envelopes come in.
Oh yeah,
and then somebody else would process them.
Right. What could be done is you're right. You raised the point that it's an issue. These surveys, here's what would happen. The ballots are most important. They would be marked and tabulated. And then they would be released, and so the surveys would be marked and tabulated. You know, you don't have to do them both at the same time. The ballots are important. The survey is not time restricted. So after they finish doing what they want to do with the ballots, then they can take the surveys and run them through some other scanning apparatus and get some information from those.
Okay. So we still might need to get with Les to find out if he's willing to
have
them scanned with the same software or same system.
Right. We'll see what the physical necessities of it is. Whoever's going to do it will work with Les on that. You're right. I spoke incorrectly. He will have to have input because he's going to design the physical parameters of the package and how the package is going to be handled when it gets turned in.
He'll probably have a mailing house, I'm guessing, do all the stuffing also. And
yeah,
he all the, so all the materials are going to have to go to them, too, and the envelopes, however you want them labeled.
Yes.
Charles,
okay, well,
Zach.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that one thing that's important that will make the job easy, if we were to include a survey along with the ballot, is to make sure they're on clearly different colored papers, so they're easy to separate. They can't be confused. And also, finally, this whole idea that somehow we're not supposed to be doing surveys or it's not part of our function, anything that increases participation in our elections is the responsibility and the concern of the Elections Committee, period. Thank you.
Okay, so are we deciding anything
seconds,
here?
Sir. We're at 20 seconds.
Okay.
Bob?
Okay, I'm not sure we're deciding anything, people, but okay, Bob?
Yeah, all I want to say is that I'm not opposed to the idea of the survey or our role in proposing it, but since we're not, you know, our not expertise, our focus is not programming, I think maybe the group like the programming committee would be more appropriate to actually set up the survey. You know, it's fine to say this should happen. That's a good thing. It'll help. It may help increase voter turnout. That's okay, but the actual design, as Bonnie said, there's nuances and delicate things about soliciting that. I think people who deal with that more regularly should be involved.
We have people like that on our committee, and I say we use them fully to do this. I now move, since we're at time, that Steve send out a draft survey or recommendations, and we go over them and send them forward if we think they're appropriate to the election supervisors and or the local boards if we need some of their input.
Okay, Tom, it's sending it distributed by email, the comments.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, can we go ahead and vote on this motion, folks?
I'm sorry, could
if not, we're going to have to extend time.
Can you please say it again?
Yeah,
right,
go ahead, John, can you repeat?
I'm just moving that we task our good friend and colleague, Mr. Brown, with sending out via email a rough draft of a survey or recommendations for a survey so that we can look them over in a timely fashion. We don't have much time here. We have the expertise on this committee, and we should use it fully, so let's let them send it out.
And I have advice on wording.
Please, go ahead, Wendy.
For possible inclusion. The wording of the motion?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Steve Brown will send a sample survey for possible inclusion with the ballot mailing.
Can I hear the word, please?
Do we have the word draft in there or recommendations just to highlight the fact that this is just a draft?
Draft survey for possible inclusion.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy, for keeping it brief and pithy.
Okay, and then this means that every member of the committee then can send suggestions, feedback to Les.
I don't think we need to say that in the motion, but of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Keep us quiet. Try and keep us quiet.
Okay. Okay, can we vote on this then? Or let me ask you, are there any objections to this? No objections. Okay. So that motion passes. Did you get that, Yosh?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
Sean moved that Steve please circulate a draft survey for possible inclusion, parenthetically.
In the ballot mailing.
On different colored paper with the ballot material.
Okay. Thank you.
With many thanks to Wendy.
Okay, you're right, great. All right. Appreciate all the good discussion, everyone.
It's going to work, Sean.
Yeah, okay. Next item on the agenda, this is what we added, Spanish language election materials that was not on the draft agenda that was sent out. Yosh,
is that number four? Is that number four, sir? Okay.
It's the missing number four.
Yeah, we're missing number four. What's the time on that?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay, go ahead, Yosh.
Yes, we met with our local election supervisor a few days ago, and he was quite perturbed that we don't have any bilingual election materials. And as we discussed before we went on stream, I believe, this committee should have undertaken that task months ago, but... Not to cast aspersions or mete out blame. It has to be done. I believe the general manager at KPFK has volunteered to dig into his, I don't know if he's got discretionary funds or what, but to release funds for Spanish language translations of the ballot materials. I guess the basic election information. That, furthermore, I've contacted Lynn Magno, and she was kind enough to send me by email the basic election information, that basically the voter packet, which was used 2 years ago. And now we've got the English. That English needs to be translated into Spanish. It will probably be posted at KPFK and probably be made available to Pacifica and the sister stations. I believe that's the way things will shake out.
It's not candidate statements, though. It's other just directions and instructions that are
right,
going
to be... Right, basic election information. You know, the timing and all of the other particulars. It would be whatever is being sent out in English would be translated into Spanish. Oh, I forgot to mention one other thing. To print election materials would be cost prohibitive, and so the suggestion is that there be placed a very prominent notice on the English language election materials stating that if you need election materials in Spanish, please go to our website, where it will be posted in Spanish, or please phone this number to request Spanish language election material. That's
okay.
Question from Wendy.
Okay, and also everyone, Yosh sent out some background information on this today before the meeting. So go ahead, Wendy.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. But is it not true? Did we not do this for 2007 at least, and maybe the election before that? We did have stuff in Spanish for that, right?
I don't know.
No one knows if we've ever done this before? I think we have.
Well, sorry for the crosstalk. Anyway, RLES is under the impression that this has never been done before. He might be mistaken, but...
Okay, well, my comment was going to be, if we'd done it before, can't we just update it? And it seems to me that we should try and get a volunteer to do this. So... I don't know. So we've never done it before,
What do you want the committee to do for National Yosh? Or what was your suggestion? Or maybe that was in your email. I forgot.
No, I just wanted to call everyone's attention to the fact, Wendy's recollection notwithstanding, that you know we've really been remiss, not only this year but apparently in previous election cycles. We've got a lot more Spanish language listeners, and we've got to have election materials available in Spanish. Just calling the committee's attention to that fact.
Would help get quorum, too.
Yeah.
So, I do remember people writing, I think I remember a couple of people writing their candidate statements in Spanish, and
being done partially at KPFK, but it's not just the candidate statements, although that clearly will help, but it's the basic election materials. They need to be available in Spanish language.
Right. And
Can I just ask if for people at other stations, I don't know what percentage of listeners we have that speak Spanish at other stations. Anybody know?
Well, this is Bob.
Guess not. Yeah, Bob.
It's on the survey.
I don't know. I don't think there's ever been, you know, any indication of the numbers, but there's definitely about five or six programs plus the Informativo Pacifica, which airs, frequently that are broadcast in Spanish. So there's clearly a listenership there, and I think this is a really important principle that we should be following in all of our work. Is, you know, when there's a large constituency that that hears programming in another language, that our written material should reflect that. So I support this idea fully.
Okay. Can I ask Yosha a question? You said that it would be prohibitive to print all the instructions in Spanish and English. The instructions are not that long, though, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, it's a lot less than all the candidate statements for most stations, right?
Well, that may or may not be. I haven't had a chance to look at what was forwarded a few hours ago. I'll have to see. And I guess it might be up to Les, perhaps, to say, well, this is going to make the ballot materials too long and too expensive. Also, it has to be, you know, as Les said, it's got to go to the printer basically this weekend, and it leaves us very little time to devise a Spanish language translation and get it incorporated, and typeset for this year.
You said I missed that.
We were talking to Les earlier before you got on the
Everything
call.
Has to be all settled by this weekend?
For the printer. It's got to go to the printer basically this weekend.
What?
To be mailed at the end of August?
He wanted to get all the candidate statements. Did he need everything, though? I guess so, probably.
I think so. I think he needs candidate statements.
I think they're going to be typesetting it, you know, doing the layout and everything, too. That'll probably take a while before they do the... But...
It could take a month.
Does anybody know if somebody could be able to do a translation quickly? I don't even know what the original will be.
Can I make a comment, Steve Brown?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, on the Spanish language thing,
Bob Lederer, who probably knows as much or as little about it as I do, said that the number of Spanish programs we have on the station indicates listenership. It doesn't indicate anything of the kind. It indicates pressure to have Spanish language programs, for better or for worse. We do not know how many Spanish listeners are members of Pacifica. My suspicion is that there are not very many. But we can find out very easily. There are programs through which you can run a list with about probably 85% accuracy that will tell from surnames who are probably Spanish-speaking people. And we get some idea. If the number is very small, it is foolish to go into the expense of printing everything in Spanish. If the number is very large, that will certainly turn the whole thing on its head. We can run our list through one of those programs. It takes almost no time, and get a good idea of how many Spanish, not Spanish speaking, but how many Spanish type, sort, whatever it is, names we have. We can't do that with almost any other group except Asian, possibly. So if there's an interest, we can do that, and then we will know what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, is there a motion anywhere from anybody?
Did Yosh say that Sean already said he would do it? He would pay someone to translate
it? He would try to finance it, yes. And we've got someone at the station who can do it. Unfortunately, she was not at work today, so our LES could not, pin her down to say, can you do this for us and how much might it cost? I also work with interpreters on a daily basis, and I'll speak to a very progressive interpreter tomorrow morning, and by that time I'll have the election material printed out and ask her, what it might cost to translate the basic information into Spanish.
Or would you do it for free because you care about saving the world?
We have Spanish-speaking LSD.
We are at time, folks.
Okay, we're at time. Can you just send us what you have, Yosh? And
yes, okay.
And then I'll let Les know what's going on there at LA. Maybe they can pick up on that or something. Unless somebody wants to extend time.
We do want this. I hope it doesn't sound like we don't want this. We do want this.
Okay, is there a motion to extend time?
I just wanted a motion to interrupt.
Okay, well, I don't hear a motion to extend time, but we'll, if Yosh can send us what you have or what's going on in L.A., then we can pass that information along to Les.
Yes, but I'm wondering, does anyone know how to attach something to the Yahoo group list? If you could, maybe you can
I've just pasted it into the text. I don't think the attachments work with that. Well, actually,
no, here's
the thing. On the website, right?
Yeah, if you only read your Yahoo groups from the website, then the attachments don't appear. But if you get your email downloaded into your computer, like with Outlook or Thunderbird or whatever, then the attachments are there.
Wendy, could you send that to me in an email, or whoever is Yahoo group proficient?
Okay.
Thanks. I think that it only generates a link on the email, and then
generates.
You have to be a Yahoo group member in order to access that.
You have to actually go to the Yahoo group in order to get the in order to get attachments. At least that's how it works on mine.
It looks like Casey Peters prepared a two-page ranked ballot voting. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Your LSB, welcome to your network, proportional representation.
In Spanish?
Pardon me?
Are you saying that was in Spanish?
No, that was in English.
Oh, okay.
And so it's basically translating two pages of English into two pages of Spanish.
Well, if it's text, you can just copy and paste it into an email, then you don't have to worry about an attachment.
Yeah, well, it came as an attachment. I can't seem to be able to, Well, maybe I can download it. Anyway, I'll work on it. Thank you.
Okay, or let me know if you have troubles, and we'll figure something out.
Okay.
Okay. Next item on the agenda, we're ready for that. Improving ballot and envelope printing to avoid problems with last election. Maybe the last two elections, if I remember correctly. Anybody want to comment on that?
What were the problems?
What does it mean?
There was an incompatibility between the printing resolution and the scanning resolution, so that the barcodes, for example, maybe this is two elections back, they weren't printed with adequate resolution so that the barcodes could be read reliably. And I can't remember if there was another problem with the ballot itself. Does anybody remember?
By this time, we had different colors for staff and listener, right?
Oops, I don't know. Do we want to make a little list to make sure Les is...
there was something funny about that they had to, like, really study. For a while there, it didn't... I guess it was this last time. It wasn't very clear from the outside which ones were staff and which ones were listener. So, that would be my suggestion. Make them really obvious. The color of the paper to help you guys sort them.
Okay. Color of paper. Okay. Well, if anybody thinks of anything else, I'll just collect these and send them on to Les to make sure he's aware of this.
Anthony here. Return envelopes, weren't they a different color for staff ballots?
They were for KPFA.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure for every election, though. Les may just remember the one he worked on, which was 06. Anybody else have any suggestions or things we need to make Les aware of?
I've never helped with that part of it, so don't listen to me.
Okay. Okay, no more discussion on this item then? Okay. Think of something, let me know. Working group reports. We kind of sort of talked about this a little bit. The first of these was membership lists, cleanup, NCOA scans, etc. Before we do that, let me just read all three of these. The next was challenges in fair campaign practices, which Les has asked us to review, and campaign finance reform, which is something we talked about at the last meeting. So membership lists. Anybody have any updates on membership cleanup or NCOA scans?
Yeah, I do. This is Sean, KPFK. As of about a week and a half ago, KPFK has approximately, and it is slightly growing, 16,500 members, and we ran it through a change of address approximately 3 to 4 weeks ago.
That's the NCOA?
Yeah, the national change of address.
Yeah.
So that
and is anybody then updating membership list with the whatever you got back from the post office?
As I mentioned to Les earlier, when I go in to do my show tomorrow, hopefully our membership person will be there, and I will check on that.
Okay.
Where we are with staff lists.
Okay, anybody else know of anything? I know at KPFT our staff people have been really busy on this fundraiser that Wendy just talked about. And so I haven't found anything in the last week or so.
Well, we're moving through this agenda. That's a good thing.
Fundraiser was super fun. And
how'd
it really
you guys
fun.
Do, just as a side note, how'd you do?
Well, it looks like we only raised $9,000, but we got a lot of the preliminary stuff out of the way, having never done it before. So, and everybody had a really, really good time.
Well, at least, you're $9,000 over breaking even. That's a good thing, guys. That's a good thing.
Yeah, we're excited.
This was a first ever annual auction. Let's get back on the agenda, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. That's fine. nothing else on membership list, right? Okay, challenges and fair cane practices. Les had asked me, you know, by email a couple of times, or the responses I did get was that he had suggested that we review them, and because he didn't feel that there should be changes from one election to the next, even though I know there's been some problems that there were some of the previous versions that were fixed in this one, because some of us did give him feedback a month or two ago. Does anybody else had any chance to look at them any lately, or
do you
want to do that?
Mr. Chair, I have to say that when I tried to download them the other day from the Pacifica Foundation, I could not open the campaign fair practices document. It would not open for me. And I tried two different times on two different browsers.
When was it?
This is just a few days ago when I wanted to read up on the fair campaign practices. Somebody at the station had asked me a question, and when I tried to download it off of our Pacifica Foundation website, I couldn't open it. It's still on my desktop. I tried again yesterday, and I tried two different browsers, so it's not a browser problem.
This is Wendy.
Yeah. Just one thing I was going to mention, you can't download the forms now, I don't think, because the nomination period's over.
Well, I did
maybe
this,
we need to add that back.
Yeah, and I did this. I also did this beforehand, and if anybody has a copy that they could just email me, I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay. I've got one.
Okay,
I'll send
you.
It to the list. Okay,
you,
yeah, Wendy.
Okay, I'm Sean is a programmer. He has a radio show. The fair campaign provisions are mostly about what you can do on the air and what you can't in election time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually quite concerned if Sean has never been given a copy of the fair campaign provisions by his local election supervisor or program director or station manager or whoever. This is what we do at our station, is everybody has to sign it before they can go on the radio next time. I guess that should be a big concern of this committee, because you can be actually taken off the air for doing something wrong, and
absolutely,
whether or not you knew that you weren't supposed to, really. So it's really important that everybody get a copy of that. I would bring that up with. I know they've been distributed. Well, I guess I don't know. So, yes, Sean, we will definitely get you one.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate it, because I want everybody to know, what our fair practices are so we can get around a lot of these problems.
Okay. Does anybody else want to? Well, I guess I'll send them out, and then I guess we'll ask everybody to review them. I guess if you can't download them now, you can't look at it, but I'll send it to the committee. Les just asked us to review them and send him suggestions, but
I actually have a copy of them, so I could comment on one that I think is really confusing. But if you'd rather,
wait, before you do that, Bonnie. So you were—they did distribute them at KPFA, or
no,
do you have it from some other year?
No, I went and downloaded them.
Wow.
Okay.
It has not been very well done. I think they're just in the process of it now.
Okay.
I had received a note at some point, and it's kind of confusing to me why I got the note, because you can't tell. It says undisclosed recipients, and I think it was not on a staff list. It was coming because I had gone online and downloaded a packet. And so I got on some kind of weird mailing list that said that fair campaign statement, the things that we had to sign were in everybody's box at the station. However, there never has been one in my box.
Okay.
So it's a kind of a mess, and I think it's just now starting to get done. And the thing that's sort of peculiar about that to me is that there is a fair campaign provision about when people are considered candidates and them being on the air as guests, or as
right.
talk shows. And And it sort of lays it on, first of all, the staff who are supposed to be scheduling guests, and it says they're supposed to be referring to a list of people who are running as candidates and making sure that they don't book them on as guests. However, the date that's being used for when you were supposed to know that you were going to be a candidate is June 1st. I'm sorry I'm not being very articulate, but it's very confusing. And I think that there are some situations already of candidates who may have been, you know, a news guest or something like that, being told that because they were on the air after June 1st, even though the staff wouldn't have had any idea whether they were going to be candidates, and they themselves had not decided whether to be candidates, that they were now going to be penalized because of that. It's just kind of messy.
Bill, can I say something else when Bonnie's done?
Yeah,
go ahead, Wendy.
We are the elections committee. You know, we all know that the election supervisors got into this process pretty late, and in my opinion, it is our job, rather than to use this kind of stuff for partisan gain, that we actually just really, really try and help and get this, because these, you know, no matter whose fault it is, when people file suit over elections or go in their propaganda campaign because they were taken off the air and maybe they don't agree with all the reasons or didn't know or whatever, all that stuff hurts Pacifica. And so I'm just asking us as this committee to help point out this kind of stuff and get it fixed so that it is airtight for everybody, and let's help instead of using it to help or hurt our friends or enemies.
Okay, well, maybe that's what Les was talking about. Maybe he realizes there's some things that need to be clarified or...
Well, that one's
maybe
pretty big.
Better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, could you, if you already have it, Bonnie, you have an electronic version, you said? Could you download it, right?
I'm hoping that this is the actual version.
Yeah, is it the current version?
I can't tell what date I downloaded it, and I think they may have changed. I'll send you what I have. But I downloaded it fairly early.
I'm gonna let you know. Yeah,
you could pull them down.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know it did change because I sent some suggestions, and one of the suggestions I had was specifically on the not calling into shows, because I've heard contradictory things in the past, and I wanted that in writing. Well, I don't have to go back to look at it and see, but I think I may have the old version, because the old version did not say it. And that was changed around a week or so, I believe, maybe sometime during the first week of the nomination period. And Les told me that people that got the earlier ones should get their LES should send them the later version, but I don't know if that happened or not.
No.
But I'll send you the. I guess I should send the later version, and I think I know the date I downloaded it, which is probably close to when it appeared on the website.
Cool.
And then if it's different than yours, then that's a problem. We need to make sure all the LESs know that.
This is Bob.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, Bob.
Pursuing what different people said about the lack of kind of overall notification of staffs at all the stations, maybe... I don't think we need a motion on this. It doesn't have to be anything formal, but maybe you, Bill, if the committee doesn't object, in your role as chair, the committee could just contact Les and urge him to, as quickly as possible, have the five LESs send out notification to the entire staffs at all five stations, both about what the rules are, if that hasn't happened, and about where to find the list of candidates so that they can avoid, you know, any possible infraction of the rules as far as putting people on the air who shouldn't be.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Because I know that hasn't happened at WBAI. I'm on the staff, and we haven't gotten any such notification about the candidates.
Okay. I'm writing myself some notes here. Anybody else want to have any suggestions for what else I should include in the note to Les? about this?
Wendy?
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Wendy.
I would urge that they have every producer sign something saying that they read it and understand it.
That's what we're being told to do, but I don't think copies have gone out, Wendy. That's part of the problem.
Okay, yeah, that's the important part. Give me something I can sign.
Yeah, exactly.
We are at time.
Sure, we're at time?
We are at time, sir.
Okay. All right. Ready to move on to the next item then, everyone? Thank you. I do, everybody, please look at them. I'll send out what I've got and review them and send any other comments you have. Okay, fair campaign finance reform, or campaign finance reform, was it that we have formed a subcommittee, but I don't think they met, did they? Anybody?
This is Bob.
Okay, yeah, Bob?
Yeah, I had to go out of town. I wasn't able to convene it as I had hoped to. So I still think this is a very pressing issue, and I would like to convene this. I think that the role of money in Pacifica elections is a corrupting influence, and we need to bring it under control in whatever way we can figure out to do that. So I would like to ask if we can convene a meeting sometime next week, and those people who are interested, I can poll them about a meeting date, and we can get this going.
Okay, so
Wendy?
Who's interested in that? Yeah, Wendy?
I guess I was kind of out of, maybe wasn't at the meeting where this was discussed to form a working group about it, but I'm very familiar with the issue, and the whole time, it's always been about the California Corporations Code and the right of membership organization for the members to contact each other, and understanding that this goes lots of different directions. If your network is going wrong or seemingly being taken over or whatever, that members have a right to contact each other, and that happens to go for concern about your nonprofit, and also about it's also used in elections. And so I think it's just being framed wrong. Every time I hear it, it just makes me crazy to call this campaign finance reform and that money is stealing an election. This is a very basic right that was fought for years, and it's not just California Corporations Code that has this, by the way. Well, I don't know if Texas has it. I know too, Arizona has it. Lots of different states have it. And it's really to look out for the best interests of your nonprofit. So, anyway, I don't think there's anything y'all can do. You can have lots of subgroups and meetings and everything else, but there's more to it than just looking at it as buying elections. I think that's really a wrong-headed way to look at it.
Sean, for a sec.
Okay, Sean.
And Bob.
Yeah, I want to agree with Wendy. Voter outreach is an important part of any election. If you're not doing voter outreach in order to distinguish yourself from other candidates, well, then there's really no reason to have an election. And I don't know if this is really an issue now since, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, our national election supervisor has made it clear, or at least I think he's made it clear, that we are going to be able to use the Internet, which is the great equalizer in these things, because everybody, rich and poor alike, can get their information out over the Internet, and it was this ruling against the use of the Internet last time that spawned the need to do voter outreach by slates and such. So I think we might be arguing about a problem we don't have, but Wendy is completely right. Under California law, we are a California corporation. Members have a right to reach out to other members, and they can do that through the Internet. If they're forbidden to do that, they have every right to put together a slate and send it out. So that's my two cents. Thank you.
Okay, Bob?
Okay, well, I don't agree with the way this issue is being framed by the last two speakers, because regardless of whether the Internet is available or not available, there are still going to be candidates who think that they can get an advantage, and indeed I think they're correct. They absolutely can get an advantage, especially if they have the money to send a multi-piece, slick, colorful, attractively designed mailing that uses all kinds of marketing hype, as has happened in the past. And that's what I mean by the corrupting influence of money. The fact that there's California law does not negate the other reality that can be twisted and abused in order to create an undue advantage for those who can muster more money. And indeed, by definition, anyone who's not a part of a slate, who's an independent candidate, is very unlikely to have the massive amount of, you know, multi-thousand dollars needed to send a mailing to the membership. So that in and of itself creates a gross imbalance that that I don't think can be legally defended. And I think there can be methods found to prevent that. And we have to look at the fact that Pacifica already designed a mechanism so that every candidate can fully reach out and get their message across. And that's what the candidate packet, the booklet is. They're 500 words. They can present their case. They have an equal opportunity. And there's no need for anything beyond that. That's sufficient. I mean, of course, people can go, you know, in other methods out in the world and pass out flyers and all of that. That's fine. But in terms of something as expensive as mailings, I think it's totally within the authority of the foundation to regulate that by saying, we have an alternative. We provided it to you. You can participate in this booklet. And that's sufficient. And other ways can be found that, you know, whether it's... Well, there's different things I think we can brainstorm in this subcommittee. So I would like to strongly urge that we go forward, you know, with having a subcommittee and look at what the possibilities are before we foreclose it at the outset.
Okay, Steve, is that you?
Yeah, yes, it's me.
Okay.
You know, Bob speaks about, you know, the foundation already has a way for people to speak to, candidates to speak to one another. The foundation restricts them to 500 words in a format of the foundation's choosing. That's one thing. Second thing is that it's the privilege of other members to speak out in support of candidates they want. And those members are free to contact other members any way they please, especially by mail. The third point is that I have to bring this up. Bob is talking about a very specific set of circumstances at WBAI in which he accused me of buying the election. And let me explain some of the facts around this, which will bear on this discussion. The ACE mailing, which I sent out and send out every election, is actually paid for by 300 to 400 members who donate $5, $10, and $15 apiece to offset the cost of this mailing for that purpose. That's really grassroots. Where on the other hand, and Bob's JUC group protests against this, he doesn't tell you that they also, in every election, sent out a mailing. And the last mailing they sent out was paid for by one person, one $5,000 check from one of their JUC people who happens to be on the board, just delivered a $5,000 check, paid for the mailing. That's not grassroots.
Point of order.
Okay, wait, hold on. What's your point?
My point is...
No further point of order, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
are you calling on me, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead.
The point of order is that's a personal accusation that is absolutely unjustified and unfair. That is not true that one person paid for that mailing.
Against who is it?
Okay.
Personal accusation? Did I mention?
Okay, well, Steve, just don't mention what somebody else did. Just say you think is.
No. I have a copy, an official copy of the notification of that check given to the mailing
house. Of course,
the
check has to be written by one person. That doesn't mean that person put up the money.
You
that's
know what?
Ridiculous.
Bob, you can deny it. I haven't mentioned the name of that
person.
Well,
Steve, why don't you just say what you think should be done or not done?
Let me say that. The fact is that if management has control of the website, of the mailing list, of the airwaves, of the email list, and if the members are not permitted to speak to each other directly, then the only voice you're going to hear is the voice of management. Just as they say about democracy, it's the worst form of government except for all the others. This ability to mail, whether it's great or not great, is simply better than any other method. And I think that Bob's solution to just squelch it, because he talks about the marketing hype and this and that. What he's referring to is the ability of one person to speak in a more persuasive way than another, and he doesn't like it. And it's why one group defeated another group in the WBAI election, or part of the reason. So, you know, you can take this on the merits, but the fact is that it's the cost of a mailing is about $5,000 or $6,000, and we're talking about people who pay $100, $200, $300 for premiums in a fund drive, or $2,000 if they want to have breakfast with Amy Goodman, to each fund drive, and we're talking about 100 members spending $50 to pay for the cost of a mailing. That's not excessive. That's grassroots, and he wants to squelch it because what it does is open up the election to everybody instead of just to a small group who control, as they used to, the airwaves, the email, the folio, the website. It's an open election now, Bob, and you'll have to live with it. It's in the law.
And we are at time.
We're at time?
We are at time,
okay.
Sir.
All right. Any motion to extend time?
Motion to extend by 5 minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections to that? Okay, 5 more minutes. Well, let me ask a question then. I'm not sure, for whoever might be able to answer it, because I'm not sure what California law says exactly.
And then Sean to the stack.
Can somebody answer authoritatively that knows if it allows any restrictions on mailings?
Here, I'll tell you what the law says, because I had to go through it very carefully in my fight with Dan Siegel. The law, and Dan Siegel knew he was violating the law when he tried to stop my mailing, and he said to the PNB, and I have that on authority from somebody who was there, let him sue us. We don't care if we're in violation. He wanted to prevent the mailing. California law says that not only are you allowed to have your mailing mailed, but and in New York law, by the way, says you can get the mailing list itself, but not only are you allowed to have that mailed, but it is not to be subject to preview scanning by anyone in the foundation, and it is not subject to pre-censorship. It's unrestricted. Now,
okay, well, if you have that in writing, can you send it to everyone on the committee? Maybe that would list,
well,
so we know what it says.
Well, you can find that the place in the bylaws where it allows that, which mirrors California law, and the interpretation of it being unrestricted was given by several lawyers, and it was argued back and forth, and I threatened to sue the foundation over this, and Dan Siegel backed down because he knew he was wrong, and he finally had to allow that mailing to go out. So I can't put my hands on all those lawyers' backs and forth, but you know Dan Siegel, and if my mailing went out, you have to be assured that he had no choice.
This is Bob.
Okay. Yeah.
Sean
Bob. Bob and Sean.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think it's really outrageous and inappropriate that personal accusations are made against any individual that he said, you
what,
know, I know it's illegal, let them sue it. No, you can't interrupt me. I'm speaking now.
Let Bob finish.
So that's first of all, that's just completely false, and I can say that because I sat on the PNB. But in any case, the issue is not about whether it's legal or illegal to send out the mailing. It's about the effect of sending these mailings and how they, you know, the fact that it has nothing to do with how many. It could be 5,000 people giving a penny each. That's not the problem. The problem is some candidates have access to that ability to raise funds by whatever method it is, small donations, large donations. Not everyone has this coterie, this, you know, vast network of lots of people who will donate money, and others do. And so it's inherently prejudicial particularly against individual candidates, but also against groups of candidates who just don't know that many people or certainly not people with more money. So, you know, and I've never made the issue about any one individual donating a large amount of money. It's about the collective impact. No, I haven't. And the issue is the collective impact of doing a mailing, no matter how the money is raised, on the whole ability. And this is not just at BAI. It's happened at least three stations over the course of these elections where, you know, one group has more access through or whatever means. And it has something to do with how few at BAI, and I believe to a lesser extent at other stations, how few non-affiliated members ever win seats on the board. That's not coincidental with the fact that there are these mailings. And I think that's manifestly unfair and that there are legal mechanisms that can be found to regulate that. And I think this the working group needs to be established to look into that and see what creative approaches can be developed.
Okay, thank you.
Let me just clarify. We decided last month to form the working group. So,
right.
Okay. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, Sean. You know, I would like to point out that as much as some people say candidates or groups gain advantage by money and slates, a lot of candidates and groups also gain an advantage in low participation. And when you stop people from reaching out and doing proper voter outreach, you are gaming the system, okay? I also find it hilarious that we have candidates and groups who are always representing or putting out representations that they got. They're part of the community, they're grassroots, but these very same people can't seem to raise money. I find this funny in light of my previous experience as the former director of a voter registration project for disabled people, that in the poorest community among us, we were able to raise sufficient money for 9 years to register over 100,000 voters. So I don't buy this idea that poor people can't raise money. I will finally say, someday somebody's going to take us to court on all this, because these rules may be unconstitutional, both in terms of violation of freedom of speech and, more importantly, in a violation of the freedom of association. So, folks, let's do real voter outreach that increases participation, and then let the chips fall where they may. That's what we are tasked with as part of the Election Commission. And with that, we are at time. Thank you.
What? just exactly at that second?
Yeah, no, it was just as I tied up my things, it went bang. So I'm sorry. For once, I hit it right on the nose.
Okay, well, I'm not sure we're going to get agreement of the work group, but can you send out a note then, Bob, and poll the committee and see who's interested in being on that work group? And then
so you didn't populate it.
Which work group is this now for?
Campaign finance reform. That was what it was called last month.
Sure, I can.
Okay. Anybody on the committee can be on it. Just make sure everybody gets notified, and then
yeah, just notify us.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, Steve.
Has there been a motion to create such a group? Because I don't think campaign finance reform needs looking at in Pacifica at this moment. What we need is campaign finance, period. The election costs money, and we're trying to find ways to get money for it. I don't think we have to reform the way in which candidates run at this point. So
well, to answer your question, I believe I think there was a motion at the last meeting, and I don't think there were any objections.
Yeah, I'm having trouble recalling this, too, and I have to say again, folks, this might all be moot because of the use of the Internet in this election. So the outreach is going to be a lot easier, and the Internet, in terms of voter outreach, is the great equalizer because
let's not debate this, let's extend time.
Yeah, that's a different issue.
Can I make a motion then? I would like
it
to
is
make
a different
motion.
Issue?
I make a motion that
okay.
I thought we were at time.
We not have a campaign finance reform work group of any kind at this point. Useless. So can I? Okay.
I tell you, that's a new motion. So let's not do that unless we extend time. And just to answer questions,
time
I did
by 3 minutes.
Okay. Any objections on extending time for 3 minutes?
Yeah, I object.
All right,
I have a question. If we decide not to, if Bob goes ahead with his subcommittee and nobody wants to join it, is he the subcommittee all by himself?
I guess so, but I think committee reports or subcommittee reports should indicate who's on it, who's in the group.
Yeah,
in the minute, let me just clarify that. There was a question.
On the floor to extend. Let us extend time or not.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. And there's an objection, so we need to vote on that. All right. All in favor of extending time for 3 minutes? Need to vote yes on, and can you call the roll?
Should we all raise our hands?
Yeah. Well, Yosh will call the roll, and then we'll do it that way, because
okay.
There was an objection.
All right. So, motion to extend for 3 minutes. Steve Brown?
3 minutes,
yes.
Yosh. 3 minutes.
Three minutes. Steve?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Anthony?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
I'm not sure. Did Ithia join us? I guess not. Sean?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes, although I'm sad.
Bonnie?
I'm going to have to leave. I'll vote no.
Of course. No abstain.
Can I motivate that? Oh, we didn't count the votes yet.
Yeah, well, the motion passed. Five yeas, two nays, one abstention.
Quickly motivate that.
Okay, well, can you start keep the time for us again, Sean?
Yeah, 3 minutes,
now.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
You know,
okay, go ahead.
I've watched with dismay that many things in this committee have been derailed by delays, which I think were unnecessary. The NCOA proposal, which was done over a year and a half ago, was delayed because one member of this committee insisted on sending it back to all the different stations for review by this person and that person. Never got done. Delayed it 6 months for nothing. And now I see Bob, originally when we talked about sending out a survey and all this, they said, well, let's send it back, let the program directors look at it, let other people look at it. Another recipe for getting nothing done. Now, this finance committee, to me, is a way of just holding, of focusing our efforts on something that is of no importance whatsoever, when we really need to be discussing how to make more people vote and how to get more money to pay for the elections. That's where we should devote our efforts. This is like that UAC committee that they decided to form on racial impurity or politic statements in Pacifica. Waste of time. Thank you.
Bob?
Okay. Bob?
Yeah. I think it's very telling that the last speaker, you know, thinks it's a waste of time and has no importance whatever, because I think, you know, regardless of what solution could be come up with, the idea that that there's no problem here and everything's great is really off base. And furthermore, the insulting characterization of the committee on racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination, calling that looking at racial purity, I think is really an outrage. And that's a committee that's looking at a legitimate problem in every institution in U.S. society, including Pacifica. So that's that. But I just think that this committee shouldn't be blocking people attempting to affect some sort of positive change in an area that we constantly criticize in the rest of the society in their elections. And now, you know, when chickens come home to roost because certain people have their own interests in protecting their own ability to use slick marketing techniques to get their people elected, then suddenly it's like, this is a trivial issue and we shouldn't be even touching it. So I think...
Wendy, on the deck.
Okay, and remember, the motion we're discussing is that there'll be no work group on campaign finance reform. Is that correct?
Yes, Steve? Correct.
Okay, so make sure all the comments are relevant to that. Okay, Wendy?
And Anthony next.
I know, when we say it like that, it makes my comment kind of silly, but I just want to say it anyway, that since these elections started, we have had mailings to the membership at WBAI, KPFA. For some reason, they just got the KPFK last time, and they all were outraged. Like, I have a real problem with people not paying attention to the elections at all the stations, because that's how I do it. You know, everybody should be like me. But the only stations that haven't done this, as far as I know, are T and W. You know, we just haven't had to, but, you know, this is a legitimate way for people to get together. At least you can do it. Well, anyway, sorry, I'm not speaking to the motion.
Okay.
Here's my thing. I was speaking to the motion.
Well, be brief, because we're going short time.
Well, it's the law. It took a million years to make that law in the state of California. How are we going to change it in Pacifica?
I'll make a motion that we extend for 1 minute so that we can hear from the very quiet Mr.
Okay, any objections to extending for one more minute? Okay, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, and no, I won't even use that full minute. I just wanted to note that I think we already created the group at a prior meeting, and I think about five people joined in, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I believe that's right, something like that. Okay.
Call the question?
All right. Yeah, I think those stacks depleted anyway now, I think. So, okay. All in favor of the motion that there be no work group on campaign finance reform? So if you're voting yes, you don't want the work group. You can call
a point of order. Point of information.
Yeah.
Anthony just said that five people joined on to this committee. None of them are on this call right now? Is that the deal?
I can answer if you like. If you look on the minutes and the to-do list, item number 4, Bob Dipman Bean Working Group on Campaign Finance Reform, composed of Anthony, Bill, Bob, and Yosh. Four members.
You guys still want to do it?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when we did this. Maybe it was before my time.
It was our last meeting.
I don't remember it. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize.
It was towards the end of the meeting.
Your timer was busy.
Okay.
I'm ready to vote.
So, all right. All in favor of banning this? Well, I shouldn't say. All in favor of not having a work group on campaign finance reform? If you vote yes, then you're in favor of not having it. Okay. Can you call a roll in, Yosh?
Okay, yes. And I'll start from the bottom up. And Yosh votes no. Bonnie?
No.
Wendy?
No.
Sean?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Anthony?
No.
Bill?
No.
Steve?
Yes.
And so Steve's motion fails. Two yays and 6 nays.
Okay.
Bob,
if you can just...
I want to recount.
Shut up.
Point of information.
I'm not sure Bob's going to... Bob can convene the work group, and anybody can be on it. He'll send a notice out to everyone. And
these are just recommendations, correct?
Right. I'm not sure we're going to get agreement of the work group anyway, so... I'm always hopeful if we can have work agreement, but...
Well, we can have 3 or 4 minority reports.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's see. I think we're almost done with the agenda. Oh, replacement ballots. We didn't get to that. I know it's after...
I'm in favor.
Beg your pardon?
I'm in favor of replacement ballots.
Well,
They should be mailed out right away.
Well, let me just say, I put this on the agenda. I can't remember. I think we talked about it last 2 or 3 months also briefly. But I'm a little concerned that it appears that we don't have a plan for dealing with them. And I'm just wondering if we want to come up with some recommendations for less.
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
This is certainly an important issue, and we should deal with it, but I would note that we adopted an agenda that adjourned at 10:30, and it's now 20 minutes past that, so I really think we need to stick to our agenda and, hold this till the next meeting.
Point of information?
Okay, yeah.
Why is this on our agenda? The National Election Supervisor surely has a plan to send out ballots.
I would assume.
Replacement ballots.
Well, to answer your question, there's been problems with just about every election with replacement ballots.
Right.
And they know it's a responsibility, but it... Well, anyway, but we're after time anyway. I guess if you folks want to send any suggestions by email, we can... Pass them along.
Send them. Tell them to send
I'll
them.
I'll be glad to
send them
along
to
the list.
Please send them to Wendy. She'll collect them.
No.
You want to do that, Wendy?
What?
Collect suggestions on this?
Sure. I can't herd the cats that well, but I'll just collect them.
Just a quick request here. Shouldn't we check with our National Election Supervisor to see if he's already... started to work on this. I don't want to reinvent the wheel here.
I've been asking, and I haven't gotten much updates. He's just been real busy. I don't think.
Yeah, but have you specifically asked about replacement balance, Mr. Chair?
Probably not lately.
Okay. Well, maybe if you pester him and we all pester him, maybe we'll get an answer. Because I just don't want to reinvent the wheel or get in his way or cause confusion. That's the other thing. When you got two groups working on the same thing.
Okay. Well, everybody send your suggestions or concerns to, send the whole list, and Wendy will collect them, and I'll help you, Wendy. We'll send along.
Okay.
Your suggestions or concerns to Les.
Okay.
All right. Any objections? Oh, and everybody knows the date of the next meeting, right? I didn't put that on the agenda, but we're the third Monday of each month, correct?
Yes.
We decided that a while back.
That would be
okay.
The 17th?
20th of August or something?
17th of August. Right?
Forget the date, but it's the third Monday, yeah.
That would be the 17th.
17th,
yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Good night. Have
Thank
a good
you.
One.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
everyone. Good night.